And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday! Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better, into the narrative of the Book of Acts we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us. We learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives and seek to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling Jen to, we are just so informal here, aren't we? First, what is supposed to be in front of our face? Well, if it is on the road and you're driving on the freeway, the answer would be on the road. Keep that in front of your face. But in every other way and during every day, it is the Lord. We are supposed to start with the Lord before our face, continue with the Lord before our face, and finish with the Lord before our face. Next, Steve Henriksen, many of you do not know him, was the first person to talk about a dirt farm. A dirt farm is his garden. He just calls it a dirt farm. But for many moons, people have been talking about our dirt nap. A dirt nap happens when we die here on earth. But as Jesus shared with us, we're just sleeping. Ask Lazarus. And then finally, one of the essential texts in the Old Testament and the place where the resurrection is firmly established in the Old Testament is quoted by Peter in Psalm 16. We're going to review that. Then Peter gives us the same key for joy that existed from the beginning, continues right now, and will never change. That key is being in the presence of the Lord.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. Oh, my. And my life's insanities. Yeah, so much more on top of that. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, look, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. It does appear to be working. Like I did mention to people, I'm not going to text you during the show. I'll text you after the show because I don't want to mess anything up, because as soon as I touch that phone, I know it's just going to go. And then, so you can text us 214-210-8483. Then you can call us 972-445-0770. Somebody did that. They're on hold. We're going to grab them in just a second. But let me say that when you do call 972-445-0770, awesome Jennifer will answer because she's filling in for Terrific T, and she is absolutely lights out, 100 times wiser than I am in radio.
I'm just saying.
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, you're much better than me. You adapt so fast. It's just like boom, 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 boom. I'm just fantastic. Isn't the hardest thing, though, about this whole show, the intro? Isn't that like the hardest?
It is, yes.
It's like the hard. It's not hard, but it's the hardest thing.
Right,
everything
yes.
else is like, yeah, whatever.
You just point at me and I'll hit the button.
Don't you love that? All right. We have somebody. Are they prayer request, praise report?
Or... It is a question from Troy.
It is a question from Troy.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to pull that together real fast and then let him ask that. Then we'll get into our trivia question. We got to go into our text and our Expository Thursday thing, but let's have Troy give a chance real quick for him to share, see what he has to ask us. Hang on. Is there a sound there, a little dingy? There. I love that noise. This is David. How you doing, Troy?
Oh, so far, so good. You okay?
Doing all right, brother. Doing all right.
Oh, you kind of got me stirred up a while ago about them beep beep. No, you know, our president went to Russia and told them everything they wanted to know over there. Well, said, don't mess with 16 items over here. Yep. Why didn't he say don't mess with the United States over here? You know what I mean?
Well, that's the one thing that in this show, you know, we recognize there's a lot of political weirdness going on, which is why we stand firm in the gospel. We recognize that righteousness comes through Jesus Christ and our political leaders. All we can do, and this is something that's really important people forget about, all we do, we can pray, but you think all you can do is pray. Let me tell you something. Prayer changes the hearts of kings because God changes their hearts. That's what we need to be doing. So if our president needs to be doing better, and I suspect every president always has and always will, we need to be praying, God, let him do your will and not the will of the world. How about that?
Yeah, but, you know, that man's been in office. You know, he was in office with that other president for 8 years, and now he's in office by himself. And he goes to Russia and gives them all the information they want if they want to start a war with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to be praying. That's why we're. That's why I'm telling you the way to handle this. People are like, "We'll mobilize. We'll do this. We'll do this." Why don't we just ask the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's in charge of all of these things, to make the best changes possible for our country? I'm telling you, if the entire church would at one time, and I give credit to many of the leaders, if they would just sincerely beseech the Lord for help, we would find it. And
I'm glad you brought up that subject, many of people.
Yeah.
How about all these churches, man? How many churches is in the United States? How many people attend churches? How many people say they're Christians? Then they put the same people back in office every year, every 4 years. What's going on?
There's
millions of church-going people claiming to be Christians, and they can't even see the nose on their face.
Yeah, well, there's some people that definitely just go in and push buttons. There's no question about it. There's no question that they maybe not be thinking it through. Here's my advice, Troy. We'll close it with this. Vote Bible. Use the Bible. Vote Bible. Whichever person is closely reflected to Jesus Christ, go that direction.
Well,
right?
I heard preachers say that before on their program, but nobody votes the Bible.
Well, I'm telling you, every time I say, how close is this person to this? You know, that's what I want to know from a scriptural point of view, right?
All right.
All right, my good brother.
All righty. Have a good day.
All right. Love you in the Lord.
Bye-bye.
All right. Troy, Sharon, he's frustrated, right? And there's nothing wrong with being frustrated. It's just the key point there is that the way to change that frustration is to get God in the middle of it, right? Okay. All right, should we do our trivia question? We're going to have to do the trivia question, so it doesn't matter. No way around it. How many angels rescued Lot and his family from the doomed city of Sodom? Da-da-da! How many angels did that? You can text in. I know that's an easy one. You can text in 214-210-8483. You can call in, but you can wait for the next call. Probably be a little easier. The call is 972-445-0770. Let's play the Expository Thursday clip from Steve Martin.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
All right. I love that clip for no other reason. It's just funny. We'll go 1 minute extra just to make sure that we get the time in. So we are at Acts chapter 22. And for those that do not know, Acts chapter 2, verse 25. And for those who do not know, this is Peter in his big first sermon. Da-da-da. He's ready to do it, right? Da-da-da. Exactly. See, that's why she's there. And he doesn't know all that. He's not a scholar, right? Guess what he does? Not only did he just quote Joel, now he's quoting Psalm 16. And here, all of a sudden, Peter, in one power up on the Holy Spirit, knows scripture left and right, and starts off by quoting Psalm 16, says this. He said, "For David said concerning Jesus, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand that I might not be shaken." Do you ever feel like you're being shaken? And I'm not talking about shaken, not stirred. Have you ever felt like you're just being rattled? You ever feel like you're in a cage and somebody's moving the cage up and down? You ever see that Donkey Kong game where he's like, right? Here's the bottom line. If we keep the Lord before us, we won't be shaken. If he's at our right hand, by the way, the phrase right hand, like right hand of fellowship, the right hand, that means near. How close? Close like your right hand. That's the whole point. So attached, you're connected to it all the time. Well, the Lord needs to be our right hand. He needs, you know, you got to think about that. He's got to be so closely connected. And so Peter, quoting the psalm, we're going to get into how it applies from a messianic point of view. But he says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. Here's the problem. The problem is sometimes we start off with the Lord in the beginning of the day, and then we stop seeing the face of the Lord throughout the day. Well, no wonder the day becomes harder. Some of us will see the Lord before we go to bed. That's great, but we didn't use him all day long. That's not, we need morning, afternoon, evening. He's always supposed to be before our face. We're always supposed to see him. He is at our right hand so that we are not shaken. And the reality check in this is in Christian faith, many times people are quickly shaken. My wife pointed out something to me. I said something to her yesterday, and she was kind enough to go, you're freaking out. See, that's called shaken. Okay, only I call it freaking out. Only I didn't think I was freaking out, but she's like, you're freaking out. It's like, oh, well, I guess I'm not doing a very good job of keeping the Lord before my face. Because if God really is in charge, I don't have to be that way, do I? I don't have to walk that way. I don't have to live that way. All right, that's just a little bit of encouragement. We're going to get some announcements, got some fun stuff to talk about, really cool stuff. Here's the answer to that question. How many angels rescued Lot and his family? We'll just give we're giving the common answer, keeping it simple, two. Okay, so one and one, which is two. Okay, that's what we're going to go with. Good job on that, everybody. And then we're going to have a few announcements, like I said. And when we come back, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Is the David Spoon Experience.
Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what politics say, regardless of what different people say, Jesus does one thing better than anybody else. He brings hope. It's like, wait, this could be different. And in verse 29, she touches Jesus and immediately her bleeding stops, right? The Bible says, look at it, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body. She was freed from her suffering. You know, people will say, well, I mean, how do you know if you're healed? I got a message for you. When you touch the Lord and power comes from the Lord into your life, you know. She knew. Not only did she know, Jesus knew. And Jesus was like, okay, who touched me? Who touched me? Power went out for me. Right? And then the disciples are, okay. Like there's like 1,000 people right next to you. How are we supposed to? Now, why did Jesus do all that? Watch this. This is just one of those absolute mind blowers. The first thing that happens to her is her issue of blood ceases to exist because she touches Jesus. We would call that a physical healing. She was physically healed. She had an issue of blood, and that's a problem, and she couldn't do anything to help it. But when she was able to touch Jesus, bam, the physical healing happened. But then Jesus does this such weird thing because he's so cool that it just fits the whole thing. He says, who touched me? And they're all like going, okay, well, you know, take a look around, dude. There's a lot of people here. And he's like, who touched me? And then the woman said, it was me, right? Jesus not only physically healed her, watch this, he socially healed her because a woman who had an issue of blood was not allowed to have the same level of public contact as everybody else. So he heals her physically and then calls her up in front of everybody and goes, yeah, you're well now, huh? It's just think about the moment. And instead of saying anything negative, because God's not like that, he's like, oh, your faith has healed you. Okay, your faith and confidence in you touching me made the difference. You're physically healed. And let everybody who's around you know you are no longer to be untouched because you touched me. Now you're socially healed.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No. I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Couple things I need to announce first, then we'll do the trivia. First of all, Mary had called in. She wanted to have those verses that we had done in the prior segment before last. So I wanted to make sure to give those verses to Mary. Mary, that would be Colossians chapter 2, 20, 21, 22, and 23. Okay, Colossians 2, 20, 21, 22, 23. Colossians 2, 20, 21, 22, 23. Also, Mary, I will call you after the show when I get home because I did get your voicemail. That's number one. Number two, shout out for Eric. Want to have some prayers for him. He's being challenged, I think, by the Lord to grow in all these different areas. He's a very faithful brother, a loving brother, a co-worker in the kingdom of God. Just want you to pray for him. Keep him in mind. Doesn't take much to lift him up. We have many people that we ask you to pray for. Just every once in a while, just, you know, Paul said it best. I mention you in prayer. You don't have to, you know, build a monument. You don't have to have a whole brick and mortar thing put together. You can just say, Lord, help Eric, guide him and direct his steps. He's just trying to draw in closer to the Lord. It's the best thing ever, but it's the hardest thing ever, right? With that, I want to say something that is aside from everybody, okay? Making this really simple. So you guys know I'm in this doctorate program, and there's just one book after another book after another. In fact, I actually look forward to the time where I'm not reading for a while. It's how many books I have to read. But one of the things that I keep coming across are certain people saying, you know, oh, well, we went to this church and the preacher had the wrong take on this verse and he preached this. And boy, wouldn't that be great if he knew what was going on and so on and so forth. And I've got a message for you. Anybody, intellectual or otherwise, who thinks that way has a very ineffective and weak God. The Lord knows what the translations are. The Lord knows what he's doing when he uses his servants. The Lord knows how to use things. He used a donkey to rebuke a prophet. He could pretty much do whatever he wants. Let's never take the attitude of, we have such a superior knowledge. Oh, those poor people don't know anything. That's a terrible, terrible, prideful, arrogant mindset. The Lord knows exactly what he's doing, and the majority of people straight out read, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them, and that should be something that makes us all rejoice and smile. I just wanted to say that because I just had to get that off my chest. Ah. I was talking to Noelle about that today, and she's like, yeah, that's frustrating, because people go, well, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, they see it differently, not they don't know what they're talking about. There's a big difference, unless it's one of the core tenets. So that's kind of different. Okay, got that. We got that. Don't forget, tomorrow I'm going to start the book of Hebrews. Yeah, we know Moses makes the coffee because Hebrews, okay? And then, finally, here's the trivia question. What apostle was released from prison by an angel who opened the prison's iron gates? What apostle was that? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770 is the number to call, plus 214-210-8483. Before we get back into the text, I have a humorous quip. You ready for this one? Okay. I don't know if you have the buzzer there or the bell or anything. I don't know what you got over there. If you don't like the joke, you get to buzz it. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, I'll cry, but I'm just saying it's up to you. So Jennifer controls it. A young woman teacher was with obvious liberal tendencies explained to her class of small children that she is an atheist. She asked her class if they are atheists too. not really knowing what atheism is, but wanting to be like their teacher, their hands exploded into the air like fleshly fireworks. There is, however, one exception. A beautiful girl named Lucy had not gone with the crowd. The teacher asked her why she had decided to be different. "Because I'm not an atheist." Then asked the teacher, "Well, what are you?" She said, "I'm a Christian." The teacher is a little perturbed by now, her face slightly red. She asked Lucy why she's a Christian. "Well," Lucy answered, "I was brought up knowing and loving Jesus. My mom is a Christian and my dad is a Christian, so I am a Christian." The teacher is now angry. "Well, that's no reason," she said loudly. "What if your mom was a moron and your dad was a moron? What would you be then?" She paused and smiled, and Lucy said, "I'd be an atheist." Because their parents were morons. Okay. Okay. I got buzzed. It's a little funny. Okay. All right, back to the text. Hey, that's not my day job. Well, actually, this is my day job. Now that I think about it, oh well. Let's go back to the text. Everybody working on that particular question? That was pretty good. What apostle was released from prison by an angel who opened the prison's iron gate? Okay. That's if you want to call in, you can. If you want to text in, you can. Let's get back to the text. This is Peter talking about Psalm 16, one of my favorite psalms in all of existence. Here he's going on and teaching the crowd, and he says, "For David said concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope." What? "For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Let me explain as best I can without being kind of arrogant and prideful, which I always have to try and put aside because I have a lot of arrogance and a lot of pride, and I pray for it on an everyday basis because I'm an idiot. What Peter is talking about in this psalm and what David is writing in this psalm is his heart is rejoicing. He's just talked about the Lord always being before him, which is a key component. And then he's like, his heart is rejoicing. His tongue is glad, which means he's saying praises, which I think is a really important element for all of us as Christians, especially that we be more of a people of praise. That's just all throughout Scripture. But then he says, why? Moreover, my flesh will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. We have a hope as Christians. And that hope that we have makes our heart rejoice. And that hope that we have gives us a strength that nobody else can understand. And this is all about God not leaving our souls in Hades. In this particular text, Hades is not hell, but the abode for the dead. And what he's saying is, I'm not done when I take my dirt nap. I'm not done. My hope is that there is a heaven and an eternal life. And this is the driving truth, a immovable anchor to our soul that says no matter what you face, when you put it on a scale next to your eternity, whatever you face is meaningless compared to what you're going to. And that is our hope. It's not that we don't have struggles. We do. Noelle and I were talking about this just yesterday, literally yesterday. It's like, well, if it's not one thing, it's another. If it's not one thing, it's another. You ever heard that expression, right? So another thing comes up, another thing comes up. Just think, if nothing ever came up, life wouldn't even be interesting because there'd be nothing that would ever happen. So that wouldn't be interesting. But our hope is not here. Our perfection of place is not here. That doesn't mean you can't be more Christ-like. It's just not here. It's there. It's the new heavens and the new earth, as Peter talked about, that we ought to be a people looking for that. And Isaiah referenced that there will be a new heavens and new earth. That's what we're looking for, where there is no sin and there is no death and there is no sorrow and there is no pain. That's our hope. And God's not just going to say, well, that was great. Good job. Good 80 years. See ya. Your body may sit in the ground, but your spirit is going unto the Lord. And when that resurrection process takes place, whether it's the premillennial point of view, the amillennial point of view, the postmillennial point of view, who cares? What really matters is that there's going to be a resurrection, you're going to be a part of it, and you're going to spend eternity with God, and you have to have some kind of body, because otherwise how are you going to dance on streets of gold? Just think about that. You're going to be in a place that the asphalt is gold. How about the rest of it? It's going to be so awesome. That's our hope. That's what we look forward to. You're not, it's not end of days. It's not 80 years. It's not one and done, son. There's more to come. Ooh, that's a good one. It's not one and done, son. There's more to come. Well, look at that. I wonder if I can tag that one somewhere. That's the whole point. The point is, this is the key. He will not leave our soul in the abode of the dead. He's not going to. Jesus didn't see corruption. You're not going to see corruption that same way. We're going to spend eternity with God. What are we going to do? I don't know. I just can't wait. It's so exciting. Maybe he'll create a whole nother universe and we get to explore. I've always maintained that there'll be planet chocolate where you can go and eat as much as you want and you won't gain any weight. What? I think that's heaven. Eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them. In other words, you can't even enter in your brain what God has got set up for you. He just gives you glimpses and pictures. So if I come up with the planet chocolate, then it's got to be better. That's my theory. I'm sticking with it. And I hope you guys are too. Wait till we come back to the next part. One of the greatest portions of all in all scripture. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here in KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. By the way, the answer to the trivia, Peter. Peter, the Apostle Peter. Taking a break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks a lot. What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away.
That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay...
He nay a captain. Nay. Now it is true.
Rename the cereal.
No.
Commander Crunch.
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you. Don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love that Captain Crunch. It's so funny. It's funny. You got to laugh a little. Merry heart doth make like medicine. All right. Trivia question. That's what we're doing. Let's do this real quickly. Let's play the website again, because that is the place where you can give. And every once in a while, you hear me go, please, can we have some more, sir? So let's play the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie. Now we are getting ready to do our next trivia question. Much tougher. Okay? Everybody hear that? Much tougher. The angel of the Lord instructed Philip to go to Gaza. What person did Philip encounter afterwards? Your answer can be found in Acts chapter 8. There you go. Gives you a chance to figure it out. If you know the answer or you look up the answer, okay, you can call in 972-445-0770. We're awesome. Jennifer will say hi. And then you can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can email David at hemustincrease.org. All right, we're getting ready to do our history. So let's play our – should we have our little sound for history? Here we go for history.
Let's go.
All right, here's a couple of things from the history point of view. Today is National Stewart's Root Beer Day. So, I mean, root beer, come on. You got to like that, right? It's National Apple Strudel Day. That's another good, right? You like apple strudel? I don't know. I'm not familiar enough, but I know anything that has apple and strudel, thus apple strudel, is going to work for me. It's National Garbage Person Day. You should be very appreciative of the people that pick up the garbage. In fact, I really actually dislike it when people are super disconnected from the people that service their homes, just because you don't need to be. It's Recess at Work Day, which for me is every day. And then it's also World Crocodile Day. I don't know why or who lobbied to have a World Crocodile Day. I don't know what attorney petitioned what person to have that, and I don't care. The person's on the phone to answer trivia. We're going to get to them in just a second. Two things to tell you. On this day in 1871, the tallest married couple ever, Anna Swan at 7 feet 11 inches and Martin Van Buren Bates at 7 feet 7 and a half inches, were married. It's the tallest couple. That is not a tall tale. That is actually the truth. Just saying. And then in 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrived in New York from France. POD. Sorry. That's just kind of funny. All right, we're going to turn to this person to answer the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good afternoon. This is the phone repairman, Al.
That is classic. I know you're going to send me a bill. I'm just going to send that to a Frank because I'm not paying. That's great. All right, my good brother. How you doing, by the way? How are things going for you?
I'm doing okay. Doing just fine.
Okay. All right.
We'll be sending you a prayer request for my wife, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no. We can even pray now. What's going on?
Okay. Oh, it's just a lot of things, David. Her health is really bad, and she just takes a lot of medicine, and it affects her brain and memory and things like that. And it's just not a good deal right now. So,
gotcha. What's her name again? Give me your name.
Lori,
that's right. All right.
Yeah.
Let's pray for her real fast, and then we'll get to the trivia. Let's just do a prayer. Okay. Father, we come before you. We lift up Lori to you right now. And it's so hard. It's so hard sometimes when we're taking medicines and the body adjusts. It's also hard when we're just really struggling to kind of find our place and find our way and catch our bearings. It's not easy for the person. It's not easy for the spouse. Not easy for the family. So here's what's the most simplistic thing we can do, Lord. We come before you. We bring Al and Lori, their family, to you. We lay them before you at the altar, and we simply ask, please help them. Please encourage them. Please strengthen them, and please fill their hearts full of joy and peace. We just ask you to be the one that intervenes and brings comfort. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks, sir.
You are more than welcome. And I want you to keep us posted, by the way. All right, my good friend, the angel of the Lord instructed Philip to go to Gaza. What person did Philip encounter afterwards?
Simon the magician?
No, but that's an excellent guess. Nope, that's a really good guess. Remember the Ethiopian
eunuch?
Yes, that's it! Correct, you got it! Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. So the angel said, go this way, you went this way, and that's when he came across the dude. Sometimes the angel of the Lord will direct you into a place. You don't even know why, but God has a prearranged plan. That's big key right there.
Got it. All righty.
Excellent, my brother. And we will keep you in prayer, and you keep us posted.
I appreciate it. Thanks, sir.
All right.
Y'all have a great day.
All right, thanks.
We'll
God bless. Bye-bye. Okie dokie. Keep praying for Al. Keep praying for Lori. That's an important part of this. Okay? All right. That's a big part of what we do. All right. My favorite portion. I'm not going to spend a bazillion hours on it because the show is not a bazillion hours long. But in closing out this psalm, Peter, you know, goes, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He's at my right hand. I will that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave your Holy One. You will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made me to know. You have made known to me. I think I could read, wouldn't you? You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. To me, for those of you that ever heard me do that sermon about a year ago or so on the presence of the Lord, it's just one of the most important elements there is. And that is that when you get into the presence of the Lord, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through Bible reading and meditation, whether it's in fellowship, whether it's serving people, whether it's giving another way, in any capacity, whether you go out in nature, you're in the middle of a city, wherever you are, that you call upon the Lord and the Lord's presence comes upon you, or the Lord makes you aware that he's there. There's the universal presence of God. That's everywhere. Then there's the manifested presence of God. That's where you know God is there right there and you kind of know what's going on. That's what A.W. Tozer calls the manifested presence of God. And that presence is the fullness of joy. And you've heard me say, I don't know if I can defend it, but I don't believe that a person on this side in this body can continually be in the presence of the Lord, because I think their bodies would explode. I think the reason we need a resurrected body is so that it's perfect, it's sinless, and it can come before the presence of the Lord and enjoy his presence, and we can be in the fullness of his joy 24/7, and we will be in heaven. Here's the kick. We have access to the presence of the Lord whenever we want, and we can enjoy his presence as often as we will, but because you and I are fleshly, and even though we are justified positionally, we are practically still being made to look like Jesus, we don't spend as much time with the Lord as we should, and the irony there is it's in his presence that that joy comes. In his presence isn't just joy, it's the fullness of joy. Then what happens is you go to church, or you spend some great time in prayer, or you get some really cool from the Word of God, and then you go out, and then you have some kind of bad encounter, bad news, bad information, and you notice that the little fluttery happiness goes and disappears. Okay, this is called the oy of the Lord instead of the joy of the Lord. And then when that happens, you sit there and you go, what happened? Well, what happened is you were in the presence of the Lord. The joy of the Lord was with you. Then you had a reversion to the flesh, and now you're back to where you started. You know what the answer is? Go back in the presence of the Lord if you want to be filled with joy. Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. And you find his presence. Now, we know you find his presence in fellowship, right? How do we know that? When two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Ta-da! That's one. Number two, when you're praying, you're communing with God. Jeremiah 29:11 is the one most people quote, but Jeremiah 29:12 is the one that talks about prayer and connecting us to God. Additionally, when you're reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has been breathed into the Word of God, written by men, moved by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit breathes on you when you read. And again, you're in the presence of God, which is why we need separated times, not distracted times. One of the biggest spirits against the church is the spirit of distraction. So easy. 15 different ways we're being pulled when in one moment we're supposed to be before the Lord. I mean, I will actually, I know this is really the OCD part of me, but I will actually force myself to pray an extra 5 minutes if I have allowed too many distractions to interfere with my prayer. Because it's like, nope, I'm not doing this. I'm not letting this happen. And I know it's Satan. And I know it's my flesh. I know it's just the world system. I know it's all that. But nope, 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 nope. Because that presence is a strengthening to my existence and a joy that keeps me going. It's just like, I love it. How do you not love it? When we go to heaven, you will be in the presence of God. There you go. Maybe some of us need to bring a little bit more heaven into earth, just maybe a little more often, like one step closer kind of thing. All right, can take a break, then come back. Hope you're all doing good on this. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to understand. Bad news does not necessitate that there is nowhere else to go except to weep. In Psalm 112, verse 7, the scripture says, "He will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord." It's not pie in the sky to look at the situation and go, "Gosh, it's terrible, but I'm going to hold hope because hope is the only thing I have to move past it. If it never comes about, that's fine. But I'm going to live every day believing that there's a better tomorrow. When people think of that, they think, "Oh, Christianity, it's a crutch. It's the opiate of the people," is what Karl Marx said. It takes more guts, more strength, more determination in this day and age to be a Christian and to stand in your faith than it does to be any other thing that there is, because it's the Christians who are under persecution, and it's the people of faith that are getting slaughtered, and, oh, by the way, throughout the world that's taking place. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. All right. So I do want to say one thing before we get into the trivia question. As a lot of you will know, that sometimes we get into discussions and we do talk somewhat about politics, whatever, but our main focus is the kingdom of God and God becoming more closer and closer to you. And like we said before, and we'll say it again, this show has a different approach, and that is plenty of opportunities for you to share on certain bases, but in this show we want to keep it to the point where you're being strengthened in the Lord, because what we want to do is strengthen one another in the Lord as we see the day approaching. And one thing's for sure, that day is getting closer and closer. That's all I'm gonna say. Here is the last trivia question for today, and then we're gonna do a Greek word. The prophet Balaam could not see the Lord's angel, but his talking donkey could. Boy, you could just preach like an hour on that. What was it about the angel that made the donkey turn away? For those that are trying to figure out where this is, it's in Numbers 22. Here's the question again. The prophet Balaam could not see the Lord's angel, but his talking donkey could. What was it about the angel that made the donkey turn away? Think you know the answer? Even if you don't, but you kind of think you do, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. In the meantime, we're going to do our Greek word. Baklava. Okay, anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I will make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The word we're looking at is accursed, and that word is anathema. Anathema. An animal to be slain as a sacrifice devoted to destruction. Because of its association with sin, the world had an evil connotation and was synonymous with a curse. And the sacrificial scheme, anathema, meant alienated from God without hope of being redeemed. It's interesting for anathema. So therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Holy Spirit calls Jesus accursed. So when people do that, you're like going, yeah, I know where that person's from. Okay, you got your trivia question. We'll do our best to answer that towards the end. Let's do this last little section with Peter. I'm going to break it after two verses. He said this. So keep in mind, so he's doing this first preach, and it's hard sometimes to remember the story because the way we teach. But keep in mind, he's talking, and the Holy Spirit comes on them, and they're like, what's going on? These guys are all speaking the wonderful works of God in our own mouth, in our own languages, and they're definitely Galileans. Just look at them and smell them. And well, the smell part I added. But the idea behind that is that people knew that this shouldn't be happening, and then some people are going, what's going on? Other people go in there drunk. Peter stands up, gives the message. He talks about Joel and the prophecy of Joel. All of a sudden, Peter's a prophetic expert. Then he's also a prophetic fulfillment expert because now he's into the Psalms. It's amazing that Peter gained so much biblical knowledge in such a short time. And then he says this. After he quotes Psalm 16, he goes, men and brethren, let me speak to you freely of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his tomb with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, see, because David's a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. David knew, and Peter is affirming this knowledge, that David's lineage would have the Messiah. And keep in mind, everybody's looking for the Messiah. Oh, what's the Messiah? What's the Messiah? And David was promised that the Messiah would come through his line. Very important, by the way. So Peter is doing an expository teaching, doing a fantastic job, by the way, saying, look, David knew the Messiah was coming through his line. He knew that God would raise up the Christ. He's about to tell them that is Jesus. He's about to go there. But before he gets there, I want you to make this connection, and we'll deal with that next week. What he says is this. He says, he sworn an oath to him, the fruit of his body, according to his flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Why this is important is because the Messiah has to come through the line of David, and the original promise for Messiah, even in a covenantal fashion, was given to Abraham that he would be, through him, many nations would be blessed. These two prominent men, Abraham and David, watch this, are in the first verse of the New Testament. It's like, what? Go take a peek. Go check it out. The lineage part of the process is extremely important. And so Peter's going to declare who this is, but he's also making this connection for the Jewish people to understand, hey, this is no fluke. This is planned. This is part of the process. This is how we do it. This is how God rolls. This is how our king rolls, so to speak. Ready? It's actually the second verse. It's actually the first verse. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. That's the first verse of the entire New Testament. So that we can understand this promise made to Abraham that all the nations are going to be blessed through your seed, and that this promise through David, through you, the Christ is going to be risen, is come to fulfillment in the life of Jesus Christ. So Peter goes, you know this guy that we've been looking for thousands of years? It's Jesus. Now, you must understand, this is one of the boldest, I don't want to use that word, it's one of the most bold predictional statements ever made in Jerusalem. Hey, you know this Messiah we've been looking for? Jesus is the dude. He's the anointed. He's the Savior. He's the one that answers all of these issues, all of these questions. In fact, tomorrow when we get into Hebrews, you're going to see Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 demonstrate the whole universe comes through Jesus, because he's not part of God. He is God. And you're going to find out. We're going to break that down a little bit tomorrow. Here's the bottom premise to this. Peter is explaining to the people that through the prophecy of Joel, through the prophetic word of David, Jesus Christ is the answer that everybody is looking for. And I've got a message for you who are believers in Jesus. He is still the answer you are looking for. He was not just the answer you were looking for when you said, yes, Lord, forgive my sins. He is still today the answer you are looking for. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the continual action of believing. And Jesus doesn't just save you from your sins, which is essential. He saves you from everything. He doesn't just save you from the penalty of your sins. Watch this one. You'll hate this. He saves you from yourself. Saves you from the world. Saves you from Satan. Saves you from your flesh. He saves you from self-destruction. He answers all of that. In fact, the word for salvation has multiple depths to the word itself, which has to do with rescuing and redemption and healing and rightness, ointment for medicine, all of that. Medicine that's used to bring healing. That's what Jesus is. And it wasn't just one time that Jesus was your answer. He is always your answer. And you will never hear us teach anything different. Okay? All right. All right, I'm thinking of answering the trivia, but somebody called in, so I don't know if they're just asking a question. If it's Mary, I'm going to call and talk to her afterwards, so I'm just kind of telling Jennifer that, because we only got about 2 minutes left. Don't you love this stuff? I love this stuff. And tomorrow when we do Hebrews, I'm going to add that in. Is it somebody wants to answer the trivia? No? Okay, we'll just wait on that and just deal with it from there. Here's the bottom line. I'm going to say a prayer over everybody, just praying for you, hoping that it'll be a blessing for you and encouragement for you. That's my goal, okay? So I just want the Lord to permeate your hearts and your minds and praise the Lord and thank him for his goodness that the texts worked. So I'm just like, so you wouldn't be, the text stuff makes you that happy? Yes. It makes me that happy. We got a ton of texts. I love it. All right, let's pray real quickly. Father, we come before you right now. We love you. We worship you. We acknowledge you. We thank you. We don't just think of you once in the morning or once in the evening. We want to put you before our face continually. We don't want to be robotic. We want to have a living, flowing, empowering relationship with you. And we recognize that that's made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for granting us that gift. And many of us have grieved the Holy Spirit. We do a lot of quenching. We do a lot of flesh walking. And we're sorry. It's just we need to do better than that. And we can do better because through Christ we can do all things. And so we offer ourselves to you, not just this afternoon, but every day for the rest of our lives, to be closer and closer and closer to you and to listen more intently. Please save us from distractions and pour yourself into our lives that we might live in great fellowship with you, loving you continually. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So be it. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22-and-a-half-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.